Pinocchio. Journey into Playland. Just think, Pinocchio, said the fairy. At midnight, you'll become a real boy. We must have a party to celebrate. Run out now and invite all your friends to come round, but don't be long. Make sure you're back before dark. I'll be back, I promise, shouted the happy puppet. And he raced out of the house, jumping and dancing as he went. Pinocchio ran from door to door, spreading his good news. Everyone promised to come to the party. But his very best friend, a lazy scamp they all called Candlewick because he was so thin, was nowhere to be found. Pinocchio kept on searching. He ran right through all the streets three times and eventually found his friend sitting just outside the village. What are you doing here? Asked Pinocchio. I'm waiting for the magic coach, which comes past here at nightfall, and then I'm going far, far away. But I've come to invite you to my party. Haven't you heard? At midnight, I shall become a real boy. Much good that'll do you, sneered Candlewick. Look, forget your silly party and come with me to Playland. It's the best place in the world. There are no schools and no teachers, and all you do is play from morning to night. No, no, I can't. I'm late already, and I promised the fairy I would be home before dark. Don't worry about her. All she ever does is scold you anyway. And Candlewick told Pinocchio all about the fabulous land where summer holidays last all year. But twilight was falling now, and Pinocchio turned to walk home. Then, suddenly, in the distance, there was the sound of a bugle. The coach was coming. Lights twinkled in the darkness, and there it was, pulled by four donkeys, all wearing white leather boots. Dozens of boys were packed inside, all chatting excitedly. The jolly coachman, a little round man with a face like a tomato and a laughing mouth, hauled Candlewick on board, then turned to Pinocchio. And what about you, my lad? Are you coming with us, or are you staying behind? I must go home, sir. I'm already late, and the fairy will be cross with me. No, no! Come with us to Playland, called the boys from the coach. Remember, no more school, no more teachers, fun and games from morning to night! Pinocchio just could not resist. He gave a deep sigh, then said quietly, All right, I'll come. The coach was so crowded that there was no room inside, so Pinocchio tried to climb onto a donkey. At once the animal reared up and kicked him into the road. All the boys giggled as Pinocchio angrily climbed up again from the other side. And again the donkey kicked him off. The coachman was furious. He jumped down into the road and gave it a hearty whack with his stick. Then he lifted Pinocchio onto the animal's back. All through the long night's journey, the poor donkey was in tears, and he kept whispering to Pinocchio, in a voice rather like a small boy's, You stupid puppet! One day you'll be crying too. You never listen to good advice. You'll come to a bad end like me. Just you wait and see. The coach rattled along, hour after hour, until just after sunrise, it rolled into Playland. What a fabulous sight it was. There were boys playing everywhere you looked, running and jumping, shouting and laughing, playing with toys and balls and skates and bicycles. Some were dressed as soldiers, others made up like clowns. There were playgrounds and carousels, sandpits and theatres. The whole place was such a riot of fun that the new boys jumped straight down from the coach and plunged into the thick of it. How happy they all were. The weeks passed like lightning. Pinocchio spent every minute playing and never once regretted leaving home. What a wonderful life, said the puppet each time he met his friend. And to think you wanted to go back to the fairy, laughed Candlewick. You're lucky to have me for a friend. Then one morning, after months of bliss, Pinocchio woke up to the most unpleasant shock he had ever had. His ears were long and brown and hairy, just like a donkey's. The poor puppet was so ashamed that he burst into tears and beat his head against the wall. But the more he cried, the longer his ears grew. Finally, in despair, he pulled a long cotton cap right over his head to hide his ears and rushed off to find Candlewick.
Candlewick!
At first, his friend would not let him in, and Pinocchio had to wait outside. But after half an hour, the door slowly opened. And there stood Candlewick with a cap just like Pinocchio's, pulled right down over his long hairy ears. You can imagine how foolish the two boys felt. For a few moments they stood in the middle of the room in silence. But then, instead of crying or consoling each other, they burst out laughing. At the count of three, they tore off their caps and threw them into the air, and they started capering around the room, giggling and waggling their long hairy ears. They laughed and laughed until suddenly Candlewick stopped laughing and fell to his knees. Pinocchio looked down at him in amazement, then collapsed himself. Kneeling on the ground, they watched in horror as their hands turned into hooves, their faces lengthened into muzzles, and their backs sprouted coats of thick hair. And worst of all, they each grew a long tail. Then came a loud knock at the door. Open up at once! You donkeys belong to me. And the coachman just kicked open the door and marched in. He put bridles around their necks and led them off to the marketplace. Candlewick was bought by a farmer who sent him to work in the fields, and Pinocchio was sold to a circus. The circus ringmaster was not a cruel man, but he would not stand for any nonsense. When his new donkey refused to eat hay, he struck him with a whip. And then he drove Pinocchio into the circus ring and taught him to jump through hoops, to dance waltzes and polkas, and to stand upright on his hind legs. After 3 months of hard training, with a sound thrashing whenever he jumped badly, Pinocchio gave his first public performance. People came from miles around to see the amazing donkey, and the circus was packed an hour before the start. The ringmaster cracked his whip, and in ran Pinocchio, the star attraction. He went round and round the ring, trotting, cantering, galloping. As the crowd cheered wildly at his wonderful performance, Pinocchio raised his head in pride and looked round the audience. And who should he see in the very first row but the fairy? Pinocchio dashed across the ring and tried to call to her. But being a donkey, all he did was bray. The audience howled with laughter. But the ringmaster was furious and gave him a crack on the nose with his whip. The blow brought tears to Pinocchio's eyes, and by the time he could see again, the fairy seemed to have gone. Imagine how desperate poor Pinocchio felt. He tried twice to dive through the hoop, but failed both times. And at the third attempt, he fell so badly that he hurt his leg. It was a disaster for the circus. The very next day, the ringmaster sent him straight back to the market, where a drum maker, who wanted a donkey skin to make a drum, bought poor, hungry Pinocchio for just 10 pence. Then the man led the crippled donkey down to the seashore. Tying a rope to his muzzle, he pushed him into the water to drown. After half an hour, the drum maker hauled in the rope, thinking the donkey must be quite dead by now. But when he gave one final tug, instead of a dead donkey, he pulled out Pinocchio, struggling and wriggling like an eel. The poor man could not believe his eyes. He'd thrown in a donkey and pulled out a puppet. "Where's my donkey?" he yelled. "I'm your donkey," laughed Pinocchio. "The fishes nibbled away at the carcass and left only me. They must have been summoned by the fairy." And with a cheeky wave, he slipped the rope from his nose and dived into the sea. He was free again and safe. Now, if only he could find the dear fairy.